no scripture reader.
Okay.
Oh, I thought that was my microphone. Jeff, you're my reader. Stay there. Keep your Bible. There's the readings. I should have copied a copy for myself. You can get familiar with that. And we have children's sermon. So come on down. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Oh, good. We got some new people. How wonderful. All right, let me see if I can get this going. Attention, mic people. Attention, mic people. Here we go. Wah, 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 wah. I don't hear it yet. It's going to be kids. Here we go. What is today?
Father's Day.
Father's Day. Oh, that's wonderful. We got to have Father's Day every day. I got a question for you. What is it that makes a father a good father? What makes a father a good father?
Happiness.
Happiness. A little louder. It's not coming out. And what?
And happiness makes people happy.
They make you happy. Okay, yeah, I wish they would.
Loving.
Loving, yes. I think that makes someone a good father. Is that it? Oh, you guys are making it so easy. Thank you. Oh, another one? All right, here we go.
Give a giving father.
A giving father. Oh, you said it right. I heard it wrong. Yes. Oh, yes. Now, today, it's set aside to help us remember and say thank you to our dads. To honor our fathers. And sometimes our fathers are wonderful. Sometimes they're like me. I got some good days and I got some bad days. And sometimes I smile. And sometimes I frown. Do you do that too? Wait, do you do that too? Yep. Some days you smile. Sometimes you frown. Some days you're nice, right? Other days I bet you're not all that nice. Well, the hard part about dads is they're just regular people. And it's hard today to be a dad. So if you're lucky enough to have a dad in church with you today, did you hear me say that? You are blessed. And you are very fortunate. And another thing I want you to learn is if he's not, don't let that bother you a bit. Because here's the truth. Every father has a father over him who's called God the Father. And when that father can't or won't or isn't able to do the things he's supposed to do, God the Father steps in and says, I'll take your hand. Is your dad having a bad day today? And he goes, I love you today, even if dad has a bad day. I love you today, even if he didn't give you a present. I love you today, no matter what. Do you know what that means? That means we have to listen not only to our earthly father, but also to the heavenly father. Yes, God. So, we have a treat today that you're going to help give out to all the fathers and then all the men. And then I have another treat for you. So, here's the treat, and I want you to help me help the fathers know it's a good day, all right? And this one says this, and the kids made these up, fathers, in the Sunday school. It says, I love you to pieces, so they're Reese's Pieces. All right, you guys grab two or three and pass them out. Go give them to grandmas and grandpas. Give them to fathers. People you don't know. No, all the fathers, I'm sorry, fathers. Men, raise your hands. This is going to all the men first. Keep giving them out. Keep giving them out. Love you to pieces. Keep giving them out.
I got more here. Give more away. Take two or three. Hurry up. Take handfuls. Give them out. Raise your hand, man, if you didn't get one. Right here, hon. Over here. There, he didn't get one. Get him back there. Next one. Over there, honey. There you go. There you got it. Another one behind there. Another one in the corner. All right. We got a father right there. Didn't get one. Now I'll go give some to the mothers, too. Okay? Because they wouldn't be fathers if they weren't for mothers. Now I'll give them to mothers, too. Yes, go give them to mothers. Hurry up. Find them. No, take two or three. There you go. Run them. Faster. Pass them out there, you guys. Hold the hand up, ladies. If they don't see you. Here we go. Bunch right here. Here's some more. There's some more over there. Some more over there. Here, honey. Right over here. Give her right there. Take some over here. There you go. Raise your hand, mothers. There. Give it up. Way over there. There you go. Here we go, right here. There's a mother. Whoop, she just got one. Who didn't get one? Every mother get one at least? Way over there, right there. Hand up higher. Hold it up higher. There. Yeah, these are short kids. They can't see over your heads, you know. Okay. Good. And I have a treat for you guys. That's not it. That's not, well. Here we go. I'll let you do this. I'll let you take this or the treat in here. Here you go. You can have one or the other. And here's the treat in here. There you go. Take one or the other. There you go. You only need one, two. That's okay. Take one. Good. Take two. All right. Got a few questions for you. How many of you walk to and from school in your lifetime? Got a lot of hands. Good. Uphill both ways in the snow and air. How many of you have jumped or dived off a high dive? How many of you have no idea how high a high dive is or can't remember? 3 meters, okay, 3 meters. I don't know if they still have them at the parks anymore. 3 meters. How many of you have roamed the neighborhood with no cell phone but simply were told be home by supper or dark? How many of you, I heard this one, I was listening to this guy give these and I was laughing at him. He said they had a rule in his house, you can't cross the big street, it had 4 lanes. And he said, so we always went underneath in the culvert. And if you ever walked the culvert to get to the other side, safest place in the world, not one kid has died in a car accident in a culvert. So, how many of you have ridden in the back of a pickup truck? Keep it up now. Keep it up. On the highway. On the side. Sitting up on the edge. Okay. How many of you are old enough to remember when cars had a ledge behind the back window that was so big you could put your toys all up there or crawl up there and sleep? How many of you remember no seat belts and in the front seat? And remember the safety system that was in the room, in the... Wow! Two cracked ribs and a... You know, I was thinking about mothers and fathers, and I think, I got to be gentle how I say this, so don't react too fast. Mothers got it pretty easy. I mean, motherhood, hasn't changed much. You got to work with this kid for 9 months, take care of it and all that stuff, and all the work that goes along with it and feeding it and nurturing it and all that stuff for at least the first 5 or 6, maybe more years, is pretty much what it used to be and what it's always been. I mean, I know we put them on the back, we put them on the front, we lay them on the side, hang them by their toes. We can't put them in this crib anymore, and we can't walk around in those rolly things because they'll break their necks falling down the stairs and all the things that, you know, I know. So there's been a few changes, but motherhood is kind of what it always was. Fatherhood is tough. You ever tried living with one of the women in the 21st century? I'm teasing. It's tough. So what makes a good dad? I mean, I read, you know, depending upon your perception, these crazies or these individuals, they'll say things like, women don't really need men. There doesn't even need to be a father in the house. And I go, I bet my dad never grew up with anyone saying that. I bet most of us old guys never grew up with anybody saying that until we got older and realized how stupid it was to say. But it's tough because everybody seems to have this opinion or perspective, and in many cases, it is a perspective that being a father is this very simple, go out and earn something unless she makes more than you and then she doesn't need you at all. And you go, what in the world? I mean, not only that, because you're so tough and you're willing to get like this, we really don't need that. We don't want that anymore in our culture. So you keep all those guns and stuff away from us, and you keep all this and that away, and you just have to kind of walk around going, okay. And you forget what it was like to ride on the hood of a car. Jump off the roof of a house. And 100 more insane things that we all did. And I know I could pick a couple of you, know you well enough that I could keep us going all morning with what we've all done. And I go, so what is manhood? What is fatherhood? What does it mean today? And it struck me as I was preparing for this, because I wanted to focus on this, that there is this parable that you're familiar with. It is the parable of a man with two sons. And I've always focused, for the most part, on the two sons. It's called the prodigal son. You've heard it before. Only I'm going to break it down for you, if you would. And we haven't rehearsed this perfectly. Your mic's ready, right? Did I give you your mic? No, I didn't give you the mic. Stay there. We're on this again. We haven't rehearsed this, but I am going to talk today about the parable of the two sons from a father's perspective. And I want you to see if I'm getting it at least close, and you can certainly nail me if I don't, but I want you to listen to it, okay? Go ahead, first section.
I'm in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 and 12.
Is it still lit?
Luke 15, there we go. Luke 15, 11 and 12. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them.
You know, I got kids. I'm the dad now. I got kids and none of them are the same. One needs this from me. One needs another thing from me. And my son the other day looked at me and said, Dad, I hate you so much. I wish I could just take your money and leave. You ever been talked to like that? You see, dad's got to sometimes put up with that because kids go through different stages in their life. And my son's at a stage now where he's convinced he can do it better. And so he's asked me, you know how long I've worked for what I have? Do you know that it's my life that I've saved and scrimped and gathered together and put this together? It isn't that I didn't want to give it to my children. I didn't want to have them
and it be like this. You know what people are going to say? They're going to say, you're a wuss. You're a wimp. Why did you give him that? Why do you put up with that? Why do you let him talk to you that way? See, my decision was take the property that I have and the things I own and to give it to that son. Don't you hate giving him freedom? Any of you old enough to know when that son finally identifies that he's not you and he's independent of you and he doesn't have to do it your way and he can be his own person, or at least he thinks he can be his own person, but he's going to take all of your stuff to do it. But I believe in setting my children free. I gave him what he deserved, what he would have earned or had as a son.
Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living.
How long do you work for your house? How would you like to see your son spend what took you 20 years or 30 years to purchase in a few years? No one told me when I got started on this that that was the way that some of your kids might turn out. I always kind of thought we'd divide it nicely and we'd all appreciate it and I could give the business or whatever it was to the child, and it wasn't going to happen that way. He wouldn't even just move down the block. He wanted to be so far away, he didn't even want me to know about him, know where he was, what he was doing, the kind of life he was living, and he never, ever writes. Because I guess I'm just not that important to him. And he just doesn't care. And I have seen, because he's never worked for it, he doesn't value it. I thought I taught him better than that. That was my life he was wasting. My blood, my sweat, my tears, my challenges, the things I've put up with. And he squandered it. Boy, tough to love a kid like that.
After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything.
Ever heard about your son and the way he's living? The decisions that he makes, the kind of people he hangs around with, the kind of life he's chosen for himself? And you've been so grieved to the heart, you weep for him. You want to throw your arms around him and bring him home, but he does not want to come. And people look at me and laugh at me as a pathetic father asking the question, I wonder what you did wrong to end up with a son like that who treats you that way. And even when circumstances in life get so unbelievably different, he would rather eat with pigs than join you again. That guilt rides on a father's heart sometimes. That sense of shame, that abundance of people's judgment that always seems to hang out in there, not always spoken, but many times felt or sensed. You must have done something wrong as a dad, or they would have turned out differently. How easy it is for people to look at somebody else's life situation and judge it. It's hard to live as a father, to stand in the middle against all the opinions and perspectives and worldviews that are out there and say, no, I still love my son. I still care about where he's at.
But I love him enough to give him freedom to understand he's got to own what his decision is going to be.
When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him."
Was I a wise man or a foolish man? My neighbors thought I was an idiot. I should have had a son groveling at my feet with his face in the dirt, with a foot on his back, calling him every name that was appropriate for the wretched behavior of what he had done to me. It's hard to stand in love. It's hard to stand in righteousness. It's not easy being a dad, because everybody out there thinks they can do it better, because everyone else has got a better plan. And yet, why do the kids keep turning out like they turn out? I saw my son. I loved that kid. I know what he did. I know he hated me. But I loved that kid. He wanted nothing to do with me. I wanted everything to do with him. But I couldn't take away his freedom. But I refuse to stop being committed to him. I am willing to humble myself, and maybe in your words, humiliate myself and run to that wretched son that you would call all kinds of names. I will not do that. My father's heart will not let me do that.
The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ringer on his finger and sandals on his feet. For this son, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate.
You ever been in a tough position where you looked at your family and said, "We will love this person back into our family"? It's not easy. I knew when my son came back, there was more than just his belly to take care of. When I said, "Put a ring on his finger," I was letting everyone know he's back under my authority and graces. When I said, "Dress him," I wanted no one else to see his shame. I have seen it and I've loved him through it. It's none of your business. When I said, "Dress his feet with sandals again," I wanted him to know that I was going to be there for him. When I said, "Kill the fatted calf," I wanted to let you know this is a day of celebration, not a day of reprimand or screaming him down or shouting him down. It was my money, my life. I gave it to him. And I surrendered it. And my son, who is dead, is alive. If you love me, come celebrate. Can you think of anything better than having a dead son come back to life, a lost son be found? I want to give you my eyes. I want my heart to be permeating yours. The wine is going to flow. Drink. Eat the food. It's a party. My son is back.
Go. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What is going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?"
Kids are all different, aren't they? Child number one is totally different than child number two. My son wasn't just angry. The word is enraged. He wanted to rip my head off for being kind. I understood his pain, but he didn't understand my love. I understood what he felt. You know what's toughest about being a dad? Is I went out to him. He would not come into me. He would not come and speak to me. He was going to sit out there and fester and rage as long as he could. You see, you have to choose. You choose if you're going to hang on to your pride as a father and a man, or you're going to humble yourself, or you're going to enter into a situation where your wife, your son, your daughter, somebody, in this case my son, is not going to respect me. And I'm not even sure how this is going to turn out. But I will go out to him. I don't care what you think. This is what it means to be a man in my heart. This was what it means to be a dad. This is why I'm 15, 20, 30, 50 years older than him. And that wisdom is, I will go to him. I will hear his grievance against me. And I will respond as a father should.
"My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
Sometimes logic doesn't register in the heart of a child. And reason. Sometimes those qualities take years to develop. It took years to develop in me. Things that I thought were perfectly okay as a young father, I wouldn't do as an old father. Things have changed now that I'm a grandpa. But I've learned you got to listen. Because that child doesn't fit a pattern. That child is its own individual personhood. And he or she has the right to feel what they're going to feel. And I have to somehow respond to it. I did not love my rebellious, angry son any less. I understood how it must look to him, killing the fatted calf. He was so convinced I wouldn't even give him a scrawny goat. But I must have loved this son more than him. You ever had those situations? Dad always loved you best. Mom always loved you best. And they throw something into your face and you look at them going, "You're each different. I have to love you differently." They roll their eyes at you and want to be angry at you sometimes. You know, when my son said to me those words, "How can you reach out to a son who squandered your property, devoured it with living with prostitutes, how can you forgive him?" Did you know he proclaimed the gospel? Because the one thing I've learned as an earthly father is I can be both those boys. And I can be the father in terms of pain and emotion. And the miracle of this parable as a father reminds me
that in the middle of unbelievable conflict in the world, of inconsistent messages that are received from all kinds of sources of what a real man would do, how a real father would behave, I have one Heavenly Father who perfectly loves me, wraps his arms around me, and when I said something, disciplined, or behaved in a way I shouldn't, he pulls me back to him and says, I still love you, son. I will still celebrate when you come around and recognize, even now, if you're a grandpa and walk up to your son or daughter and say, I am sorry, they'll need to hear that. Being a dad is tough work. It is no small task. It has no perfect set of written rules, because women and children and families and situations and circumstance can be so unbelievably varied, you can't tell a kid standing up there looking at his bride exactly what he's going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 50, hopefully 100 years of their lives as they try and figure out how to make a relationship work. I didn't expect this to happen or that to happen. And my Heavenly Father says, I still followed you. I still loved you. I still wrap my arms around you. And my forgiveness is as fresh and new today as it was whenever you tasted it for the first time. I'll tell you why it's a happy Father's Day. Because if I prayed, and I will do that in a minute, I am anything but the perfect father or the perfect pastor. And my children, if they listed them, could be here all morning telling you fault after fault, inconsistency after inconsistency. But I, like my children, have a Heavenly Father who sets the example of how I am to respond and react. So pray, or at least hear my prayer. Jesus, I have been blessed to be the father of four kids. Situations created around me caused me to be anything but a perfect husband and father. I don't want to make any excuses with you today, Lord, because those are of no value. I don't want to pretend I've done it always right. I don't want to lie to myself, because I am the first most foolish person that listens to my own lies. Lord, I've disappointed you. I've disappointed myself. And most of all, I've disappointed and hurt my family, Lord. I haven't thought things through. I reacted emotionally when I should have reacted with sensitivity and logic. And I've behaved in ways, Lord, that would not fit your perfect example, that haven't shown love for a rebellious child, that haven't demonstrated forgiveness for people that don't deserve it, that I just not been able to be the man you've called me to be, Lord. And now on a happy Father's Day, it's so tough, Lord. In so many ways, I've tried so very hard. And somebody comes along and looks at me with that look, you must have been a terrible father. And Lord, every one of those memories has a tendency to come flooding up into my heart. And I feel a wash of shame and guilt and embarrassment. Oh, Lord, I wanted to do it different, and I really wish I could go back and undo and do it different. Lord, give me the wisdom when I should do that. Give me the courage. Give me the humility, Lord. But this Father's Day, I'm not going to hang my head. I'm going to lift it up to you, Jesus. I'm going to look at the Father that you have, that you have introduced me to, that you, by the power of the working of the Holy Spirit, have made me aware of. And I know that my tomorrow can be different and better than my today. And I know that I can love kids, even if they don't deserve it. I can forgive people, even if they don't deserve it. And I can stand against a culture, a world, forces around me, and I will stand where you call me to stand, Lord. I will not just be a father, Lord. I'll be a father who is a man after your heart. I can relearn forgiveness I can relearn tenderness. I can relearn the power of your Holy Spirit in my life. I can relearn how to use words like I love you. Lord, I read in that story that the Father wrapped his arms around his son and kissed him. I didn't think men did that, Lord. Teach me to love my kid so much, so powerfully, Lord, that I can wrap my arms around him and kiss him from the sincere heart. Lord, it's a good Father's Day, and it's a day to celebrate, because in you I am a conqueror. In you I have victory. In you I am given second chances. In you I have truth and integrity and wisdom. In you is life, O Lord. Help me to live a sacrificial life, first to you, then to my wife, and to my children, and now, Lord, even to my grandchildren, until every part of my life reflects your mercy and your grace. Thank you that in you, men are forgiven, as fathers, as husbands, as men, as sons, and we all are forgiven as children who belong to you. Come and bless us, Lord, with that wisdom and understanding. We pray it in your name. Amen.